Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In an effort to close the gender wage gap, or to help close it, the city of Boston has been running free two-hour salary negotiation workshops for women for the past couple of years. And a new report out today says the workshops seem to be helping. A case study of 52 women who attended the workshop by the Center for Women in Politics and Public Policy at the University of Massachusetts Boston found that nearly half of the women used the skills they learned to negotiate higher pay or a competitive starting salary at a new job. Now, to date, 5,000 women, or nearly 5,000, have taken a workshop, and the city's goal is to train 85,000 women by 2021. That's half of Boston's working women. Now, joining us now is one of the women who participated in the workshop, Ashley Paré. She's also a volunteer facilitator for the program now. Ashley, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hello, thank you.
It's good to have you here.
Great to be here.
Also with us in the studio is Victoria Budson. She's the founding executive director of the Women in Public Policy Program at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, and she's frequently talked to us about negotiations and the gender wage gap and the working world here. It's good to have you back, Victoria.
It's great to be here.
Okay, so Ashley, first of all, tell us, let's just cut to the chase. Did the workshop help you?
Yes, it did.
How?
I negotiated a new job, a new offer with a new company. So I was able to set a salary range that I was looking for and negotiated back and forth once I got my offer. So I had the courage to ask for more once I received the offer from the company.
Okay, so what did you do this time around that's different than what maybe you had done before, if you've ever had the opportunity to negotiate before? And what was it in the workshops that you really were able to pull to use in this negotiation?
Yeah, I've always negotiated. I don't really know why, where that came from. I just knew I wanted to ask for more. Maybe my corporate HR background gave me the one up there that I knew it was okay to ask. But the workshop really helped me to understand and have the confidence to set a range, to do the research, have data to back my worth in the market based off of the role I was getting the offer for. So it just reaffirmed that the company should be paying me for what the role I was going to be doing there.
So you came to the table with data.
Yes.
Okay. And what about this idea that in sort of presenting their case in a negotiation, that women often don't use the right language or have the right approach? Is that something that the workshops touched on?
Yeah, offering the right language or the options for language to use, that's a lot of fears come up, right? As a facilitator, a lot of women ask about how can we even start this conversation. So the workshops definitely talk about scenarios and give the women options to use different language.
So give me an example.
Or
maybe something that you even said in your own negotiation.
Yeah, so if the recruiter asks you right up front, you know, tell me what you're looking for, or what are your salary expectations?
$9 million. Sorry, no. I know.
That would be great.
That was just, I'm trying to be bold here. But anyway, go ahead.
So you can start high. That's a strategy. Or you could deflect, right, and let the recruiter know, I'd love to learn more about the opportunity. I need to better assess the job responsibilities and roles before I can come back to you with salary expectations.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so Victoria, let me bring you in here. What is it about that technique, instead of coming back with an answer of saying that I need more information, what is it that makes that effective?
Well, there's a couple different things. So one of the things which Ashley talked about in that deflecting technique is you want to understand where the employer wants to anchor the negotiation before you give an alternative anchor, which, of course, will be higher.
Okay.
And if you, as the prospective employee, anchor it, what if your number is lower than their lowest number? You've just foreclosed on yourself. So that technique that Ashley described helps anchor first the employer number, so then the prospective employee can go up above that.
I see.
Now, there's a second important piece when you discussed what is the right language. Hannah Riley Bowles, who's the research director at our center at Harvard, her work showed that when women negotiate, if they make a direct ask without an external validator, Ashley talked about that she'd done her homework. She would know what that job is worth, so she had a range. And when a prospective employee can use that external anchor, can again say, this is what these jobs are worth in the marketplace, that helps women negotiate without getting social backlash.
So this is really interesting because part of me wants to... I suppose since we're so data-driven here, I can't imagine going into any situation without data. But it's really – salaries are particularly difficult, right? Because there's the whole transparency problem. Like, how can you find the right range when there's so much of the problem that causes the gap to begin with is that we don't know?
Well, that's right. And there's new tools, things like Glassdoor. Okay. The web has made it so you can really find out there information about your area. Plus, with the pay equity law that was passed in Massachusetts a year ago July, that goes into effect July 1, 2018, employees are allowed to now share their salaries as of that July 1 date with no repercussions.
Right, no repercussions. Okay, so that's a major change here.
Yeah. It's a major change. And Ashley could go and ask some of the people in the office she's going to go work in, so how is the pay here? And people could share that information if they chose with no fear of reprisal.
Yeah. So according to the study of the 52 women who are in the case study here out of the 5,000 who've taken the workshop so far, of those 52 women, 87% researched and identified their appropriate target salary. And 40% of those surveyed actually went ahead and talked with their supervisors, I guess the current supervisors, about their work and value. Now, how big of a hurdle is that to clear, the actually starting the conversation? Ashley, you were going for a new job here, but what about if you're trying to negotiate something within your current employment?
Well, sometimes it's really looking for those opportunities when there's discussion of new job responsibility, when it's one's annual review, when one has just done something fabulous that's been recognized. And then when a woman can build into those other conversations, talking about what the role is, what her value is in the organization. And there's two tools that have been very effective for women in particular. If they can continue that relational frame in the dialogue, if Ashley was my boss and I was going in to have a conversation, if I could say, Ashley, I really enjoy the role and working together on this team. When I look outside in the marketplace, as this job has grown, I think the skills that I'm providing and the role look like they would pay about 10% more in the marketplace.
Yeah.
And then even better if I could say, and I have an external offer and I'd really like to stay here. Mm-hmm. I used all relational language. What we see is men, if they just said, Ashley, I think I deserve 10% more. If a man just asks like that, what we don't find in the research is anyone feeling uncomfortable. But we find if I ask Ashley directly as a female, that I can get into a rub where I seem not as lovely. And women have social backlash for that. We're not saying that's the way the world should be.
Yeah.
But the research shows using those external validators and that relational frame can help women achieve the raise without social backlash.
So I just want to make a point here that obviously we are speaking about women who are in jobs where they have the opportunity to have these conversations about their value, or they have the opportunity to enter into some kind of negotiation. And that, of course, is not every job.
It sure isn't every job. And there's lots of women, particularly in the lower socioeconomic bracket, who are in positions where it's an hourly wage and it's non-negotiable. We often say those positions have sticky floors because rather than hitting a glass ceiling or having negotiation issues, it's hard to move up from those jobs. And often the negotiation they're having is less about salary and more about moving to the next rung in that organization.
Yeah. So, I mean, Ashley, you've now moved to becoming a facilitator for these workshops. Why'd you do that?
Yes. I was inspired in the workshop, and it was an epiphany. I had to do it. I had to share not only my personal story of negotiating throughout my career and the barriers and successes that I had, but also looping in my corporate HR experience. So I wanted to bust myths about how HR and companies think about this process from a recruiting standpoint and from a hiring standpoint.
Okay, so tell us about at least one of those myths that you felt compelled to bust.
So I hear it in all the workshops is that women are afraid that if they negotiate, they'll lose the job offer. So every hand goes up in the workshop that, yes, I'm afraid of that. And then I ask, well, who has that actually happened to? And I've trained hundreds of women now, and very, very few, less than three hands have gone up to say that actually was an outcome. And so there's a fear that you may ask. And from an employer's perspective, if you're going to lose the job because you asked for more, then to me, that's a sign that you're not entering a company that respects its employees. It's a sign of the culture there. And so it's a sign for you to step away anyway.
Hmm. Yeah. So that's really interesting. You know, we just got a minute here to go. The time always goes by so quickly here. But Victoria, there's one thing, and actually, Ashley, if you want, chime in, please, too, that I wanted to ask you about. Because, you know, here we are, we're talking about negotiation, which is a potent means by which to close or help close a pay gap for individuals. But of course, Victoria, as we've talked about multiple times before, there are still structural issues in the working world that even after successful negotiation, a woman may not end up at the same place as a comparable man would undergoing the same negotiation.
That's right. It's important for everyone to understand that having salary negotiation skills is very important, but it's one piece of a broader mosaic of what will close the wage gap. It takes employers doing internal wage audits to understand whether or not they're paying men and women. It takes ensuring that women have the same access to STEM education and then career fields. It means apprenticeship programs within the trades need to fundamentally include women. Mm. There's lots of different actions. It takes the legislative side. It takes actions from government, like Marty Walsh's work with companies and sharing their wage data. All of these pieces will come together to help us close the wage gap here.
Keep going. We'll keep going. Victoria Budson, founding executive director of the Women in Public Policy Program at Harvard's Kennedy School. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Ashley Perez, you participated in a workshop in November 2015 and now facilitates. Thank you as well.
Thank you.
This is Radio Boston.